Episode 125 of Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world manage risk and seize opportunities. Learn more at futuresfundamentals.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors, CME Group and Trading Technologies. Today I spoke to a man who's been a consultant for fintech companies, worked in IT at Citadel, and traded for several years before realizing that information was just too expensive. He then set out to create a free financial communication, research, and analysis platform. That platform is called Level Trading Field, and he is the CEO. His name is Lanre Sarumi. Lanre and I discussed some of the great trading tools the platform offers to traders for free. We chatted about the distinction between HFTs and quantitative trading. Lanre explains how managing your risk as a trader is more than just numbers and how you should have a broader view of the markets. Finally, Lanre and I talked about blockchain technology and where it will be used in the fintech industry. It was an absolute pleasure speaking with Lanre. He is an extremely bright person who is doing magnificent work by providing traders with a free analysis platform. As always, thank you all for listening and please enjoy this episode. Lanre, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to speak with you today. Now, you are in a very interesting space in the industry. You're competing with some of the major players like Bloomberg and Reuters, as you have designed a free web-based financial market platform. So before we get into talking about that and the other topics we have for you today, can you tell us how you got your start in the industry and what gave you the idea to come up with Level Trading Field?
All right, thanks. So I started about 20 years ago, so 1998 is when I actually began working in the financial industry. I've actually worked a lot longer than that, but financial industry was 1998, and I initially started off as a consultant, basically just building financial systems for banks, hedge funds, and just financial institutions, and eventually I took on a full-time job with a small company, you may have heard of it, Citadel Investment Group. So I worked with them for about 6 years, and then I decided to break out on my own. Still within the financial, well, fintech, really. I developed a system that was very similar to PayPal, but a lot more secure. But the problem with that was we built a fantastic system, but we forgot to go get the merchants. So it was a great system, but we didn't have enough customers, so we sold that business, and I then began trading. So I traded for about 4 years, and while trading, I realized that it's tough to get access to information. It's expensive, so obviously there are providers that can give you those information. Reuters, like you mentioned, Reuters, Bloomberg, FactSet, there are a lot of providers, but all of them are expensive. And it's tough to trade, try and make money, make an income, and at the same time you're spending so much money just trying to get information, just trying to be successful at what you're doing. And so I figured, look, a lot of this data is available for free, at least the ones that we were using. And if there was a system that could actually coalesce those data for me and just put it together without necessarily costing me half my income, then it could be useful for me, absolutely, but then it could also be useful for other people. And so we basically started building it. So initially we just built it for us, just the things that we wanted and the things that we knew other traders wanted, but we've now opened up the platform so that anyone, regardless of what you're trading, so futures, options, equities, can essentially request tools to be built for them or build the same tools and offer it to other people as well. The goal is to have most of the tools be free, and that's what we have right now. But eventually, we'll obviously have to have some tools that people pay for simply because the access to the data, we have to pay for those data. But for as long as we can keep it low cost or even free, that's our primary goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the beginning of my career, it was very challenging for me as I was breaking even and or losing money a lot of the times, that all those costs and expenses that we had, it really took a toll on you. And I remember like my first year of trading, obviously I was not doing very well, but I was really kind of getting expensed out even on the months I was breaking even. So I could totally relate to that. And I think that's one of the great things about having better technology as years go by is that people like you come out and develop things to help traders, especially traders that cannot afford some of these really very expensive tools that we really need as traders. And one thing I will say is what you're doing is interesting to me because how is it dissecting the data? I mean, that's the one thing. I have used Bloomberg, I have used Reuters, and I continue to use Reuters to this day. What's great about it is it dissects the data, so I know exactly where to go and to look for it. How are you guys doing that?
Okay, so we're actually doing it a little bit different from Bloomberg. So Bloomberg or even Icon, Reuters Icon, so they do provide some tools to allow you to dissect data, and they do have some value-added data there themselves. But we go even deeper. We do the dissection, but we also give traders the tools, or financial professionals really, you don't have to be a trader, financial professionals the tools to create like rules-based decision-making algorithm. And one good example is the event-driven analysis that we have. And so it's based on real-time data that comes from the EIA, so the Energy Information Association, and from Department of Labor as well. And so those data, when they come in, they actually move the markets. And in fact, it came out an hour ago, and you could see the volatility in the market once the EIA releases the oil number. And if you look at Bloomberg, you'll see that they actually just give you just the one number. Was there a build up in oil, in crude oil? Or was there a drawdown in crude oil? And so traders basically use that to trade. So if there's a build-up, it means that there's a lot of supply, and that means, if obviously, with basic economics, if there's a lot of supply, then the price is going to go down. If there's a drawdown, then that means there's less supply, and so the price is going to go down. So people trade like that, and it's really basic, and that's what you get from a Bloomberg. What we do is we allow you to do make better decisions. So rather than just looking at supply or the build, so even though it could be that there's a build, meaning there's a lot of supply, but demand could have exceeded that supply, right? So you shouldn't just look at one number. You should look at a series of numbers and a series of metrics to make informed decisions. So what we will give you is a tool that allows you to say, well, supply has gone up, but as demand gone up even higher, and if that's the case, then the price is going to go down, right? And sorry, the price is going to go up because obviously demand obviously exceeds supply. But if you're just using Bloomberg or Reuters, you just see the price has gone up and the supply has gone up, and you start shorting when in fact you should be buying. So, and it gets a lot more in depth. That's just a really simple example, and that's what we provide. We provide the decision tools and the value-added data, but we also allow you to go in there and do the analysis yourself. And it's not just what we've done. So we're also seeking feedback from traders as well. So if there are other ways you'd like to sort of weed out intelligence from this data, then we're looking to hear from financial professionals to give us that feedback so that we can keep modifying the tools. And that's something you don't necessarily get from the other providers, right? So they've built the system. Here it is. If it doesn't work, then they'll fix what doesn't work. What we do is we give you the system. If you like to modify the system or change the way it's actually built, then we're happy to do that. So our goal is to have an unlimited number of applications, and some of those applications could be very similar. It's just a different way for other people to use the same data. And so that's how we sort of distinguish ourselves from a Bloomberg or a Reuters.
Yeah, very cool. Thanks for that explanation. Now, you and I, prior to this, talked about HFT versus quantitative trading. And we kind of, you know, I laughed about it. I said, you know what, it's funny. You talk to people on the street or traders that really don't understand the difference between the two. Everybody kind of lumps them into one segment. People will just say, hey, oh, yeah, oh, it's the algos or the HFTs or the quants, etc. But talk to us about the distinction between the two.
Yeah, so HFT, for the most part, is all computer-based trading, and it's high-frequency trading. So it has to be, to qualify as a high-frequency trading system or algorithm, then it has to be fast. So quantitative analysis or quantitative trading doesn't necessarily have to be fast. You could actually be pretty slow. It could take days before the trade is actually even is put in. So it's got nothing to do with the frequency of trading. High frequency, of course, you're trying to be in and out, and you're trying to take advantage of an edge. And so we like to, I guess, separate it out, because I guess for the most part, the press sort of, they want a simple handle, and it's easy to just say algorithmic trading. And in fact, algorithmic trading can be slow, right? And high frequency trading is always fast. That's why it's high frequency trading. And you have to do a lot of it very fast. And that's part of the reason why we also provided a platform where we're not that fantastic for an HFT platform or an HFT trader, but we're great for quantitative trading, because we provide the tools to be able to extract an edge or to be able to look for an anomaly in the market and trade based on that. So that's based on quantitative analysis, on big data. And that's how we see the distinction.
Yeah, no, great stuff. Now, we talked about risk management, you and I as well. We were talking about that coming into today's recording. And as I said to you, and I'll say it to our audience again, we've had a lot of discussions with pretty much every trader, hedge fund manager, CTA, et cetera, on this show about risk management. Because to me, really, that's what trading is. That's why I love having this discussion. But you have some specific thoughts on how traders should be approaching risk management. You said they shouldn't just be looking at numbers, but they should have a broader view. Please explain that.
Yeah, so I mean, when you start trading, everyone tells you to let your profits run and cut your losses quickly, right? And that's pretty much just based on the market prices, right? On the data that's coming in from the exchange. But we look at it a little bit different. We think there's more to risk management than just looking at pure numbers. You need to see what's happening in the broader market. So a simple example is if you're trading crude oil, for instance, and OPEC is about to sign an agreement with all the member countries to restrict production. But while you're trading, you see the price of crude oil going down, and you're trying to limit your loss because the price is going down. But in fact, if OPEC actually, if they actually come up with an agreement and the agreement holds, then the price of crude oil is most likely going to rise. So you need to incorporate data and information coming from multiple sources rather than just strictly looking at the market. It's easier said than done. I mean, I'm sure while you were trading, everyone said, well, cut your losses early and let your profits rise. It's easier said than done, but it should be a good tool set in a trader's, I guess, bag of tools when trading, because just focusing on market data is not going to, well, you're not going to last very long trading that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you say bag of tools. I've always said in my arsenal, look and see what's happening besides what's just happening in my market. You can't just look at a chart and expect an outcome. I mean, obviously, you can be a pure technical trader and you follow a strategy, and I understand that that is definitely for some people. And we talk about this a lot on this show, systematic versus discretionary trading. And I'm someone who I've always considered myself a hybrid. I've had this conversation many times before here and on Futures Radio and on Twitter with other traders. And I agree with you to the point where it's like you have to know what the themes are in the market, like know what's going on. I mean, today as you and I record, it's an FOMC meeting. And I'm looking at the bond market that I've been trading, the treasury market, equities. They're going to be very sensitive to what's happening in the statement today coming out with FOMC. Your chart is going to be secondary to that. And just like you talked a little bit about crude today, we had EIA numbers. I had put some thoughts out on Twitter. We were looking at crude trades this morning. EIA, what happens there is going to trump what my technicals are, because that is really the theme of what's happening. And there's going to be more eyes on that than just our technical strategy. So great stuff with that, Lon Ray. I agree with that. Traders need to have that broader view and understand what's happening. I want to move on. I want to talk a little bit about blockchain. And I mentioned that I remember the first time I went to an FIA conference, it was years ago. I remember all these people speaking and talking about blockchain and Bitcoin. It was all new to me. I had heard about it prior, but I was, as I sat down, as the speakers were talking about this blockchain and Bitcoin, I was kind of like, okay, this is way above my pay grade. I don't understand it. And as years have gone by now, I have a better understanding of what blockchain and Bitcoin is. Give us your view on how blockchain technology is being used in fintech.
Yeah, so I mean, blockchain and fintech, that's actually a pet peeve of mine. It's simply because you just see a lot of projects being announced by banks, by clearing firms, by just a bunch of financial institutions just basically making announcements of how they're going to use blockchain for some projects. And you look at the projects and you're like, well, this doesn't really fit the use of blockchain. So the best example for blockchain is obviously Bitcoin, right? That's essentially where it started and, well, at least became popular. And it was built for a decentralized system, as a decentralized system where anyone can plug into the network and anyone can contribute to the integrity of the network. And the larger the number of users within that network, the better, right? And you see projects from banks where they're building a private blockchain system. And so basically no one else can join but them and one other bank or two other banks, right? And that's not the best use of blockchain. In fact, there are way better technology you can use to solve that problem. You shouldn't actually even use blockchain for that, because really blockchain is just a database, right? It's a database that's a public database that anyone can add to. And if in fact you're going to keep it, you're going to give it private, and it's just you and another bank, then the way better technology you could use. And I think a lot of banks and a lot of, I guess, fintech companies just want to appear to be on the cutting edge of technology. Now, that being said, are there good applications for blockchains? Absolutely. We're looking at something within the natural gas space, where the pipelines that are publishing their egress and ingress, so all the natural gas that's coming through the pipelines and leaving their pipelines, that data can actually be published on a general ledger. And for as long as you're a pipeline, you can basically just publish your data and it just gets added to the general ledger. And that's what blockchain is about. So if a pipeline ever gets sold, so the way pipelines work in America, it could be one contiguous pipe, but it's owned by 10 different companies. And any one of those companies can sell their pipelines and stuff. So if you apply a blockchain technology to that sort of, problem, then it really doesn't matter who owns the pipeline or who gets added to the ownership of the pipeline. As long as everyone is just sort of publishing their data, then it becomes a general ledger that every single pipeline can use. And so all the traders that trade natural gas, they have access to the flow across the entire system. That, we think, is a fantastic use of blockchain. Not because we're doing it, but because it's in line with what blockchain is about. And this, we don't necessarily have to have an agreement with any other pipeline. We just have to basically publish the data the same way, and the integrity of the system sort of holds. But when you hear about stuff like a clearing firm basically putting on a general ledger so their clients can get access to their statements, I'm like, well, I mean, doesn't your regular database work for that? Just publish the data that way. So it's a cool technology. We think it has some uses, but it's not the be-all and end-all that a lot of, I guess, financial institutions are trying to make it out to be.
You know, this is a very interesting perspective you just gave there. I mean, and it makes so much sense. It's common sense. Put it to work where it makes the most sense and don't have to restructure everything in your business. And in the areas that it doesn't make as much sense, you don't have to use it.
Absolutely.
Common sense sometimes goes a long way, right, Lon Ray?
Yeah. You would think.
But great stuff today. Now, I have some rapid-fire questions for you. So are you ready for those?
Let's go.
All right, everyone. Our rapid-fire segment is sponsored by Trading Technologies. Trade the global markets from virtually anywhere with TT, the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. Create your account and try it now free at tryttnow.com. Now, the first question for you, probably going to be the easiest one you get all day. What's the number one source you spend your time on?
Well, I use my network, actually. So I like big data. So we try to sort of extract intelligence from big data. And I'm on the EIA's website. I'm on Department of Labor's website. Just trying to extract intelligence information from those resources. We actually pull in those data as well into level trading field as well.
What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
Favorite book? Well, I like Ed Thorpe's Beat the Market, not because it actually had any revealing information on how to beat the market, and I read it a few times. I still didn't find any information. But it just sort of highlights the fact that there's always an edge. Everyone thinks, at least academically anyway, they think the market is it's perfect in the sense that it reflects information and everything is well priced, and Ed Thorpe actually proved that it's not. So I like that. It sort of gave encouragement to me that I could actually be successful trading.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading or the markets?
Trading Places. It's a 1983 movie starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. I like the switch where here was a broken, here was a homeless guy, and they switched, and the homeless guy could actually, once he applied himself, once he did his research, once he basically had the confidence to trade intelligently, he was actually successful. And so I like that fact. I also like the fact that they were trading frozen concentrated oranges, and they were getting data directly from the Department of Agriculture, and obviously everyone was trying to react to that data, and that's something that we do as well. We basically get real-time data and provide resources for people to extract data as quickly as possible. So Trading Places for sure.
What's the best piece of advice you've received about trading or the markets?
So, well, the best piece of advice that I received wasn't necessarily about trading. It was really about the markets. Someone said, you want to be the service provider. Okay, so regardless of what happens, the service provider is always making money. And so you look at the exchanges there. I mean, you're up with your trading. Well, you're still paying exchange fees. You're down, well, you're still paying exchange fees. Same thing with the clearing firms as well. You're always going to pay them a commission. You're always going to pay them a service fee. So, and I looked at that. I'm like, well, some days I'm up and I make money. Some days I'm down and I lose money. But this guy's always making money. So that's why I became a service provider. So regardless of where the market goes, I get to go home and have a hot meal. I like eating every day. It's a kind of like a requirement for me.
Now, if you could give a piece of advice to the new people interested in getting involved in trading, what would it be?
Well, make sure you have an edge. It's cool everyone thinks it's cool to be a trader, and it is. You can, when you call yourself a trader, it's impressive. A lot of people are impressed, but at the end of the day, your bank balance has to reflect that coolness. And if you don't have an edge, then it's probably not a market for you. So do your research, do your analysis, and make sure you have a genuine edge. And if you don't, then go become a service provider, really, because you're most likely not going to make it in the long run. If you do have an edge, then hopefully the edge lasts long enough for you to make it. But once that edge goes away, then look for something else. Look for another edge or become a service provider.
Final question for today. If you weren't involved in the financial industry, you'd be doing what?
I'll be doing a lot of stuff with big data. So I know that's the cool thing that everyone's talking about now, machine learning and AI. But you look at what's going on and you look at how technology sort of evolving, and you look at what people are doing with data. So there's a lot of data all over the place, and we're only scratching the surface of what that data can tell us. And if I wasn't doing this, I definitely will be basically doing more data science style work, where I'm trying to create intelligence from data. I mean, what I'm really into now, on this more of a side thing, is the autonomous driving vehicles, where it doesn't necessarily have to have the perfect technology to sort of guide the vehicle on the road, but as long as that data is being fed into a central system and enough vehicles are basically providing data into a central system, then it's easier for the vehicles to now learn, right, using AI to learn what really works. So that would be pretty exciting for me.
I really enjoyed this today, Lanre. Great, great insight. Now, where can those that are listening to this show right now go to visit your website and maybe check you out on social media as well?
So Level Trading Field, it's a play on Level Playing Field. So don't go to Level Playing Field. Go to leveltradingfield.com, and you can sign up. It's free. Our service is free, so you can sign up and start using the tools today. If you want to reach out to me directly, I'm on LinkedIn. So I guess if you search Lanre Sirumi on LinkedIn, you would find me. I'm happy to connect with anybody that's looking for additional information or just looking to network.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on Futures Radio Show today. And I look forward to speaking with you on these great topics in the future.
The pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.